Now, we are taking a few weeks and we're detoxing from some of the negative habits that we've created. We've spent the last 2 weeks detoxing from fear, and we need to replace fear with purpose, right? Today, we're going to talk about digital detox, which is ironic because some of you are going to be watching this on a screen. And I have more teaching slides today than any sermon that I can remember in a long time. But how many know, I'm just going to go tell you right off the bat, I'm not going to ask you to remove all screens from your life. Whew. All right, so we're not going to have a phone burning or an iPad burning because those things cost too much money, right? But I am going to challenge everybody to reduce the amount of time that you spend on screens, okay? And then we're going to talk about detoxing from grief and isolation and pornography. And so I'm truly excited. I think this is a right now word for all of us. And I would say that each of these deserves their own series because there's so much to talk about in each one, especially today. So let me say right off the bat that I have posted some resources, just articles, videos, research, things like that about digital detox that you can find on our Facebook page. You can find it at info.graceassembly.org, okay? So really, I'm just going to begin to scratch the surface today. And today is going to, there's a ton of information that I'm going to share with you, so I'm going to go pretty fast. Can you listen fast? All right, here we go. How many of you would agree that, especially during quarantine, that you spent more time looking at a screen than normal? Right? I think that's pretty much most of us. The 9 o'clock service was full of dishonest, deceived people. You guys are real, transparent. God's going to move in this place today because of that. But I remember receiving sometime back in March, April, this screen time update. You know, your phone does that to you. And I just remember it saying, like, your screen time is up. It was a crazy number. I don't remember exactly what it was. But, I've got some memes that kind of give us a picture of how much our screen time has increased this year. One says, me, this show is boring. Boss, again, this is a Zoom conference. day one of quarantine, I'm going to read my Bible more and grow in my relationship with God, said everybody. But then at the end of 3 weeks, congratulations, you've completed Netflix. Everyone in quarantine, weekly screen time report. You averaged 24 hours, 18 minutes of screen time per day last week. Did it feel like that? Yeah, it did. If you're feeling guilty about the kids getting too much screen time, just turn on the closed captioning and now they're reading. Problem solved. Okay, this is my favorite one. You know how people post pictures of themselves on the beach with their knees and all this kind of stuff. When COVID-19 ruins your vacation, this is two hot dogs on a plate in front of an iPad screen. Right. Now listen, I think a lot of us have gotten in the habit of being on our screens more in 2020 than normal. And so if we continue with this habit, it actually is going to hurt us. And so I think we all need to have a digital detox. Someone will say, well, is it bad to be on screen so much? Well, I think we all know the answer. The answer is yes. But the real question is, how bad is it? That's what I'm going to attempt to show you in the next few minutes. What if I told you that there is a relatively small group of people in the world that have a large part in deciding every day what you and I and billions of other people are thinking about? And what if I told you that these people that are a combination of mathematicians, psychologists, computer scientists, and neuroscientists, we call them attention engineers, are some of the smartest people on the planet? And what if I told you that these people are working hard every day to keep us connected to our screens as often as possible and as long as possible? Matter of fact, did you know that the color of the notification button on your phone, snap streaks on Snapchat, tagging people in photos, even the like button on Facebook were designed by social engineers for you to be the proverbial pigeon in the pellet? Let me put it to you this way. Bill Maher, that great theologian, he said the tycoons of social media have to stop pretending that they're friendly nerd gods building a better world and admit they're just tobacco farmers in t-shirts selling an addictive product to children. Because let's face it, checking your likes is the new smoking. Apple, Google, Facebook, they're essentially drug dealers. Wow. One whistleblower that used to work at Google has since left Google began to bring this to attention. He goes, do you guys even realize what you're doing? And of course they said, help us, and then didn't change anything. So he left the company and he started blowing the whistle that this is addictive. Matter of fact, he described it. His name is Tristan. It'll be in the notes here today. He described your phone as a slot machine in your pocket. It's the same type of thinking. Matter of fact, due to the addictive nature of the products they design and the potential damage they do to us psychologically, emotionally, and even physically, many of the people who create the technology that you and I are using don't let their kids use it. For instance, the executive at Facebook who helped create the like button hired someone to run her personal Facebook account so she would not be subjected to the psychological manipulation of the technology she helped to create. Are you with me? We're being played. We joined Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all these things because we wanted to see each other's pictures of our kids and weddings and all this kind of stuff, and you know, and high school buddies and those types of things. But what we are currently experiencing is something far different. We now live in an attention economy. Now that's a term I've been using the last few weeks, because what the reality is that our attention is a resource or a commodity. And so the more attention websites, news shows, social media platforms, TV services, and video games can keep our attention, the more money they will make. Everybody say cha-ching. Kind of quiet. Stay with me. Tony Rinke wrote a book called A 12-Step Digital Detox. He said social media wasn't invented to make you better. It was invented for you to make the company money. By social media, you become an employee of the company. You are the product they sell, and they put you in a little hamster wheel and then throw treats in every now and then. Now, the reason is that the longer we look at screens, the more money is made. The problem is the longer you look at screens, the more harm it does to you and me physically, mentally, and yes, spiritually. Let's talk about this for just a few minutes. Let me talk to you about how watching screens too often can hurt us physically. Remember, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're supposed to honor God with our body. So this is important to all of us. Now, we've already pointed out that screens can be addictive and as addictive as any substance, but the research shows, and each one of these has its own just mountains of research to talk about, but the more screen time results in, first of all, more weight. You tend to gain weight. Anybody ever heard of the quarantine? Nobody? Or I got my COVID-19? Do you even know what I'm talking about? Talking about gaining weight, all right? Wave at me if you're alive, all right? Thank you so much. It's like you're looking at a screen. More screen time results in more weight. It also results in vision issues. I'll show you more about that in a minute. Chronic neck and back pain, including migraines. It really affects our sleeping habits. It impairs our cognitive function, which means the more I look at screens, the more it slows down my decision-making processes, which is why a lot of people are now calling these dumb phones, because it's truly slowing down our ability to make decisions. And this is really scary. It results in likely to die earlier. Let me read it to you. One study of 4,500 adults showed that lots of screen time accelerated your likelihood of death by up to 52%. Now, I reached out to a local eye doctor that I know, Dr. Jeremy Elmore, and I asked him, I said, hey, as a professional eye doctor, tell me what you're seeing when it comes to people watching screens. How's it affecting people physically? And so he talked a lot about how artificial blue light is hard on our system, and he's seeing more and more people that have migraine headaches as a result. And he said it affects the pineal gland, which secretes melatonin, which regulates sleep. Now, some of you take melatonin to help you sleep. How many have heard of melatonin? Well, there's a gland in your body that creates melatonin, and he says watching too much screens actually prevents the gland from producing melatonin. Some of you are wiped out, and you are tired. And the reason is because this artificial blue light is messing with the gland that produces melatonin that helps you sleep. Which, and he gave a bunch more doctor, you know, talk and technical stuff. But he said, he goes, really, I would summarize it this way. Artificial blue light is from the devil. And if you know Jeremy, you know why that was funny. Then there's this research. This is something I just heard about this week. Because this is new revelation, but let me read it to you. New research in biomechanics suggests that some young people are developing horn-like spikes on the base of their skull. They're bone spurs caused by the forward tilt of the head, which shifts weight from the spine of the muscles to the back of the head, causing bone growth in the connecting tendons and ligaments. And the researcher is saying that most of the blame goes to smartphone use. So what they're saying is that your head, your skull, is actually, it's heavy. And you're made to do this, right? We're not made to do this. And because of the weight of it, our bodies are adapting. And I know that this should scare a lot of us, that it's actually changing our physical structure. Matter of fact, I found a picture of what we'll look like in a few years if we keep looking at screens. Now, so it's affecting us physically. There's no doubt about it. But to me, the most scary way that screens are affecting us is it's affecting us mentally, our mental health. I really want you to lean in on this one because I think this is the most alarming aspect of what we're talking about here, because the research is showing that there is a spike in mental health challenges that coincides with the release of the smartphone. Now, I want to recommend a book to you called Digital Minimalism. I'll show it to you in just a minute, but let me read just a segment from the book. He says, I was chatting with the head of mental health services at a well-known university where I had been invited to speak. This administrator told me that she had begun seeing major shifts in student mental health. Until recently, the mental health center on campus had seen the same mix of teenage issues that have been common for decades: homesickness, eating disorders, some depression, and the occasional case of OCD. Then everything changed. Seemingly overnight, the number of students seeking mental health counseling massively expanded. And the standard mix of teenage issues was dominated by something that used to be relatively rare: anxiety. She told me everyone seemed to be suddenly suffering from anxiety or anxiety-related disorders. So when I asked her what she thought caused the sudden change, she answered with a hesitation that it probably had something to do with smartphones. The sudden rise in anxiety-related problems coincided with the first incoming classes of students that were raised on smartphones and social media. She noticed that these new students were constantly and frantically processing and sending messages. It seemed clear that the persistent communication was somehow messing with the students' brain chemistry. Okay, what are you saying? What I'm saying is, the research is telling us is that the more we look at screens, the more it's messing with our heads and the way that we think, which in turn affects the way we feel. Remember, the Bible says, as a man thinks, that's who he is. So this affects us. This is very important. And again, there is a ton of research on this, but let me give you just a few highlights. According to a professor from San Diego State University, rates of teen depression have skyrocketed since 2011, when smartphones started to become popular. The Center for Disease Control says that suicide rates among teenage girls are at a 40-year high. And the National Institute on Drug Abuse says teens who spend more time than average on screen activities are more likely to be unhappy. And those who spend more time than average on non-screen activities are more likely to be happy. And back to the professor from San Diego State, she says it's not an exaggeration to describe iGen, and that is the generation of people who've grown up with smartphones, as being on the brink of the worst mental health crisis in decades. And that shift in mental health crisis occurs exactly when smartphones began to be more and more common. Are you getting this? See, the defining trait of this generation is that they grew up with smartphones and they don't remember a time before they had constant access to the internet. And they're paying a price with their mental health. Now, let me stop right here for a second and let some of you young adults and high school students breathe, okay? Because this is not the ramblings of a grumpy old man. You know, you old guys, you old people, you just want to take away all of our fun. I challenge every adult, older person in this room, ask your student about this. Does your phone cause you anxiety? Do these issues exist? And they'll agree with you. This is a problem. And even though they know that it's an issue, many of them are like, but I can't live without it. So how many know we need some help? Three people think we need some help. Now I realize this is not a popular message, but let me just stop and say, I think this one may be the most important of this series. Because I don't think we take it seriously enough. We can preach about fear, and we did. We're going to talk about isolation and grief and pornography, and those are serious issues. I think this might be the most important one. Because we have no idea how. We got to realize that this technology is only about 10 years old. We don't even have enough time to do the research to know how they're currently affecting our lives physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Matter of fact, Dr. Elmore said, he goes, we're just now beginning to get the research of how it's affecting us. He goes, we won't even know the full story for 20 or 30 years, except by then it will be too late. Now, this doesn't just affect students or young adults, does it? It affects all of us. How many of you have heard of an expression called Facebook depression? It's a thing. The idea is the more I view social media, the more likely I am to be depressed. Researchers from the University of Pennsylvania published their first research linking the use of social media, such as Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram, to increase symptoms of depression. Why? You look on there, you see everybody's filtered perfect life compared to your reality, right? And we get addicted to likes. We keep checking who likes it, who doesn't, who said who liked it and who unliked it and who unfriended me. And it's driving us crazy. And we're like that hamster on a wheel. We are being controlled. We are puppets on a string. And some of us just need to cut that string. That's good preaching. Here's a summary of the research. The more social media and screens in your life, the more likely you are to be afraid, to be sad, to be depressed, to feel anxious, to be physically unhealthy, to feel insecure, and to feel isolated. And remember, all of the research that I just cited was before COVID, before the quarantine, before our screen times rocketed up even more than normal. Here's what I'm trying to communicate to you today. This is the big idea. We are not wired to be constantly wired. God didn't make humans to be connected to the internet 24/7, right? We need light. We need our fingers in the dirt. We need face-to-face communication. Come on, somebody. Now, you say, Pastor, are all these things bad? No, they're not. They can be used for good. Some people are experiencing church online right now, and I don't think we did this earlier. You should welcome everybody who's watching online right now. That's pretty awesome. Right? A lot of the research I did for this message, I did on a screen from my computer, from my laptop. So there's all kinds of reasons that these are for good, but what we've got to remember is that this is how it affects us spiritually, that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And all things are lawful for me, but I'm not going to be dominated by anything. This may be for good, and it can be used for good, but you can't let it dominate you. You can't let it control you, how you feel, your mood, your spirit, your attitude. Amen, everybody? And so we're not wired to be constantly wired. It's just not good for us. So, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I am not telling you to just stop using your phone or stop using screens. As a matter of fact, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I think you need to replace screens with activity. Now, let me illustrate this to you. Don't think of a pink elephant. Don't think about it. Whatever you do, don't think about a pink elephant. What are you thinking about right now? Okay, Pastor, how do I get that pink elephant out of my head? Think about a brown bear. Oh, the elephant left. It's called the law of replacement. Now, we learn a lot about this in Freedom Group because the Bible says we cast down every thought and take it captive, right? And what do? We replace it with truth. This is good stuff. Some of you need to join a Freedom Group this fall. It's going to change your life. So it's the same principle here. I can't just not do Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. I got to replace it with something else in order for this to last. Because some of you say, okay, Pastor, I'll try this for a day, and you'll be driving home and you say anxiety. Like, okay, you got to replace it with something else in order for it to work. So what kind of activity? Any activity, as long as it's not illegal. All right? And I mean that. If you replace screens with any activity, it's going to help you. I'm talking of walking, jogging. Now, that's not personally for me. That's for some of you. Painting, start a journal, write letters to yourself or family members, right? Write a thank you note to somebody. You're probably way behind on those anyway, right? Ride a bike, read an actual book, an actual ink on paper book. Learn to play an instrument, plant a garden, meet your neighbors. Get in a group this fall. Lead a group this fall. Join a dream team. Man, I'm preaching better than your amen in here today. Learn a new skill. And this is another illustration where these things are really good. YouTube, you can learn anything, right? So learn a new skill. Learn how to cook, or at least try to learn how to cook, okay? Maybe you have kids, and there's this bucket list of skills that they need to have before they leave your house. Maybe you say, hey, they need to know how to change a tire. They need to know how to change the oil. They need to know how to pay a credit card. They need to know how to pay bills. Am I right? How about you start knocking some of those things off before you kick them out of the house and say, good luck, right? Do some of that. Just use your imagination, any activity to replace screens. You could even do a rock, paper, scissors tournament. Everybody right now, come on. Do it, everybody, please, come on. Come on. Ready, everybody. Come on, right here, I got you. Now, everybody messes this up. But get this, it's 1, 2, 3, then. It's not 1, 2, it's 1, 2, Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to follow the rules. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. See, I win. I saw scissors everywhere. Now, by the way, rock, paper, scissors tournament, it's an actual thing that you get prize money for winning that. It's kind of crazy. So let me give you some ideas, okay? Some digital detox details, ways to do this, because I'm not asking you to get rid of all screens, but I am asking you to take some steps to consider digital detoxing. Now, this is something that I did last week. I removed my social media apps from my phone because I wanted to be the guinea pig for everybody. And so I kept all of those things on my laptop, my computer, but I only checked them from a laptop or computer. I did not check them on my phone. What I found this last week is that I kept reaching for my phone, and I would look at it and go, why? It was like, I must have been looking for Facebook or Instagram. It's just a habit. And so I got a report this past week that my screen time was down significantly. Praise Jesus. I was practicing my own preaching. And so can I challenge you to do this? Matter of fact, would you grab your phone right now? This is the first altar call. Okay, so here's what you do. Some of you are looking at me like, you are crazy. See that blue F on your screen? Just touch it for a second, and it'll start shaking because it's getting nervous. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? You know? And if you'll just hit that X in the upper corner, the app will go away. Do the same with Instagram. Do the same with Twitter. Do the same with TikTok. Snapchat, it will go away. Now watch this. Your account will not disappear. Okay. But you just won't have access to it on your phone. Only get access to it this week through a computer. Just give it a shot. See what happens. And if your hands start shaking on the way home, like, you know, maybe we should take this more seriously. How about you turn off all notifications? It's, you know, the science behind the notifications is just to keep us looking more often and stay longer. So just turn them off. You can manage notifications on your phone as well to only show up when you actually look at your phone. Perhaps you spend one day a week without your phone. There is an app that we recommend called Freedom. It's not free. You'd have to pay for it, but it's a way for you to intentionally set up blocks on time, websites, apps, and different things. You could use this for yourself. You could use it for kids. And I really want to encourage everybody who's taking this seriously to read a book called Digital Minimalism. Matter of fact, this is the book I'm leaning on the most today in this message. And ironically, I listened to this book on Audible. So technology's not bad, right? So let me pause for a second and say to all of the parents who have young adults, college students, high school students, middle school students at your house, what do you do with a message like this? Here's what I'd like you not to do. Please don't go home and start the conversation this way. Pastor Wayne said. Now remember, you want them to love me, right? You want them to be able to receive ministry from me next week. You don't want me to be the devil, all right? Say, hey, we talked about this in church today. What did you think about anything Pastor Wayne said? And ask questions like, do you ever deal with anxiety? Are you having trouble sleeping? You know, and then give them a chance to say, how can we do better at this? All right? So I'm not asking you to take their phones, throw them in the garbage, break them, nothing like that. But let's learn to use it the right way. Really, it's just like teaching them how to drive. You're teaching them how to do it the right way. Amen? Are you getting this? And so have a conversation with your kids, but that does not, you don't ask a four-year-old about their opinion, right? If you have younger kids, I used to have a rule at my house, we don't negotiate with terrorists. So you don't have the same type of conversation with little kids. Matter of fact, you should probably have a conversation about how old a child should be before they have a phone, whether or not a baby should be looking at screens, period. But that's a whole other message, okay? So do with it what you will. Now, I think I've tried to show today that social media, screens, movies, music, video games, it's not that it's just bad for you. I think if we dig a little deeper, the question really is, what's the emptiness that we're trying to fill with it? What's missing from our lives that we have to fill it with so much of this technology and so much of this stuff? See, I think people try to fill the void in their lives with lots of things. People try to fill the void in their life with alcohol. Matter of fact, I think during quarantine, more people started drinking than ever before. Some people try to fill the void with drugs, pornography. We'll talk about that. But I think for some of us, if we're honest, we're actually using this as an idol. And we're trying to fill an emptiness in our lives with this. But can I tell you that only Jesus can fill the void in your heart, that longing in your spirit for purpose, for who you created to be, who you were created to be. And can I tell you that I think all of this is reminding us that God is our only hope. And that what we really need to be looking toward in 2020, more of Jesus, more of his word, more of his presence, more of his power. And again, if we're honest, this is robbing us of that. You know, actually, this could help you do that if you use some of the tools the right way. But let me share this with you, and we're going to pray. This is not had a lot of scripture in the message today, so let me end it this way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. The gospel of Jesus is the message that the whole world needs to see. And you know what? We can use screens to help this message get out. But if you don't know what it is, here it is. The just and gracious God of the universe looked upon hopelessly sinful people, that's all of us, and sent his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to bear his wrath against sin on the cross and to show his power over sin in the resurrection, so that all who turn and trust in him will be reconciled to God forever. If you have never believed this gospel, if you have never surrendered your heart and life to Jesus Christ, then I want to challenge you to do that today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray for those that are joining us online and those that are here in the room today. And today's message has really just uncovered the fact that there's a spiritual void in your life, that there is something else going on. It's really about who's first. And if Jesus is not first in your life, then today I want to challenge you to make him first. Maybe you were far from God. Maybe you didn't grow up in the church. You don't know anything. You haven't heard a whole lot about the Bible, but there's something about this today. You feel the Holy Spirit drawing you to God. Then let me lead you in that first step of becoming a child of God. It begins with a confession of faith and a repentance of following Jesus. But if that's you, I want you to pray this way out loud. And everybody that would like to join us in praying this prayer out loud, say, Dear Jesus, thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the cross and the resurrection. I declare with my mouth, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. From this day forward, I'm following you. Holy Spirit, help me follow Jesus every day. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you give God praise for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen.